This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here in the midst. We acknowledge your presence here. And we ask right now, Father, will you just give me the exact words in us that you want to share this morning? And Father, help me to be quick. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no coincidence as we looked to include these guys in partnership with the church that as I looked at Scripture and what was God saying, he led me to the passage in 1 Corinthians where it's talking about that we are his body. But what does it look like? I know for me personally, I don't know how many people have done it. I don't know how many times I've said it. I just want to experience an Acts church. I just want to experience what it was like when Jesus went to glory. Peter had a Pentecost moment. The disciples start walking in power and the church is born. And they're seeing thousands of people added every day. I want to experience that. I want to know what it looks like. I want to know what it feels like because I'm told in Scripture that the Spirit will pour out and it will be greater than the latter rain. So it means that whatever happened at Pentecost is a blip compared to what God's going to do in the future. And if it's actually one thing that drives me to keep pursuing him is that I love him so much and I want to see his glory manifest on earth. And I want to see as many people come to know Jesus as possible. And the thing that breaks my heart the most is that some people are going to reject it. It's heartbreaking. I don't think there's anyone in this room that probably doesn't know some kind of family pain or hurt or disconnection and the pain of that. Think about God that created the universe, that created every single person in his image, and they're not going to be able to spend eternity with him. I can't even imagine what that does for God's heart. And yet he continually is stirring and calling us and spurring us on. And I can't reach that mission on my own. I need you. You need me. We need all our uniquenesses. We even need all those things that rub up against someone and annoy the heck out of them. Because the things that annoy me won't annoy somebody else and they'll actually be able to reach that person. It's why we need each other. It's why this is called a family, not a dictatorship. It's why I don't want you to have this thing of going, oh, the pastor. No, that's just what I'm called to do and be. It doesn't change. I'm just the same as everyone else. I just have a role to play. I'm a son of God before I'm a pastor. And if God sometimes one day goes, right, that's enough, the mic's out of your hands, I'm still a son. But what's the recipe? What is the thing? Well, in Acts chapter 4, all the believers, if you're following along your Bible, Acts 4:32, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There was no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles and give to those in need. Okay, I'm not saying you need to go and sell your house and give it to me, all right? That's not what I'm saying. But think about it. the level of trust and the level of belief in the work of God and the unity that was in that place and the incredible trust that these people had for their leaders. It's incredible. But the key in it is unity. The key is being one heart and one mind. It's not about having all our beliefs lined up so we're exactly the same. It's not that we all are dressed the same, those things. If you ever go to a, this is going to sound really bad, forgive me to my Pentecostal pastor friends, but you go to a Pentecostal pastor conference going back about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even a bit longer, I'm halfway there except my boots aren't quite pointy enough and I'm not wearing a sports jacket. All of them. I don't know. They look the same, feel the same, speak the same. Oh, God is good. Oh, yeah, all the time, brother. Except for their lives are falling out apart behind there and they're not willing to be real and vulnerable. Because actually what it actually says in here, that nobody had a need. And I believe that nobody had a need was far more than just the financial provision. But that their emotional needs were being met, their spiritual needs were being met, and their physical needs were being met. Together. In community. That actually means that Angie's got to share her heart with me and so that I can actually know, and I've got to share my heart with somebody else, and together we can do those things. I know there's some here in this place. I've heard the stories where you rock up to someone's house and go, hey, God's given me this prompting to give you this amount of money. You're one of the most generous church communities I've ever seen and been a part of. We're not big in number. We've just raised nearly $7,500 out of a small number for the Destiny Rescue Crew. Extraordinary. We give substantial amounts of money to missions. And we've got more to be able to give. It's extraordinary. You're so generous. And that's part of it. And it's not just about financial generosity. But that's it. So the other thing is, a couple of pages over, but as the believers rapidly, so this is in Acts chapter 6, as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Happens. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, sounds familiar, saying that their widows are being discriminated against, they're not getting their food, they're all that stuff. So in other words, there was this divide, the thing coming against the unity in the church because there was all these needs arising. So what was the answer? Well, we need more people. We need to actually release more people to do those needs so that everyone is doing their role within the body of Christ. Because if you read this, it talks about the apostles getting so busy in the doing of all the stuff that they didn't have time to spend with God. That's not healthy. And it's not. So this is why we need each other and we need all the gifts to be working together. Because no one is more important than the other, but we all have a job to do and we all have a role to play. So I'm excited about whether we're welcoming people into partnership is that all the diversity, you've heard their stories of how each one came to Christ, all radically different people, even from the same family. But God's brought you here for a reason and for a purpose. Won't go through all of it, but I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about the spiritual gifts, that we all have a different gift, that we're all given different things, and God chooses those gifts. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life where I feel like God has given me what I need for a specific moment because I was outside of my fit in that moment. But He gave me what I need to fulfill what I needed to do. And then as I stepped out of that role, that grace wasn't there anymore. It doesn't mean that God takes things away, but He gives us what we need to be able to do what we do. If any of you feel like, oh no, I can't serve in the church, I can't serve God in the community, I can't be that person around that, good, you're in good company, because none of us can. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And you are all called. What are we called to do? Love the Lord God with all our heart, soul and mind, and love our neighbours as we love ourselves. And do it through the unique shape and giftings that God gives to each of us. Chris came in this week and was sharing some of his amazing stories of how God has uniquely gifted him. Now, I don't understand the guy growing his hair back thing. I don't understand that at all. If you want to know that story, go talk to him. But basically, Chris said he felt like he was sitting in front of a guy who was bald. Felt like God said to pray for him that his hair would grow back. But everyone's got a spiritual gift. We've all been given stuff, and he bestows it to us as it is needed. And it isn't given for our own self-adulation. It's just not. It's the same as Suzette's story is not one that's just for her. Her story will be a testimony of hope for somebody else. The fact that Amanda went to a program kind of begrudgingly and God turned up. It was the two girls who asked consistently for 6 months, Jason, will you come to youth group? And I did everything I possibly could to get there, and Mum and Dad finally let me go, and that's why I'm here today, because of Sarah and Brianna. They did what they needed to do in that moment, and we don't know what the impact we can have in that space. However, if I walk along here and I've got bare feet and I kick my little toe on that table, my whole body will react. We've had a bit of a battle at home getting rid of bed bugs because we brought them home from our holiday. These tiny little things that you can't see interfere with everything in our body, our sleep, the way we function. If I have a splinter on my finger, who knows that all you can think about is the splinter in your finger? Until we get it out. And if we don't get it out, it gets infected and it gets messed up. I'm going to do my best not to do the speaker thing and finish actually where I'm going to finish. God is forming us to be the body of Christ. Every one of us has value. Every one of us has purpose. And as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if we can do all the stuff, I can speak in tongues, but I don't have love, well, it means nothing. If I can heal people in Jesus' name, but I don't love people, then it means nothing. If everything I do is not founded completely in the fact that I'm loved by Him and that I love the people that I'm ministering to, then it means nothing. Doesn't mean we'll always get it right, because none of us ever do. A pastor friend of mine said this on his Facebook post this week: if you were created to be loved, living unloved is like clipping a bird's wings. Pain has a way of doing this to us. If it's left unresolved, you can forget what you were created for. Song of Songs says it this way. Let me get my reference right. So, where are we? I'll read the whole passage, but it says in verse 15 of Song of Songs, chapter 2, you must catch the troubling foxes. Those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. And let me go back to the start of this passage in Song of Songs chapter 2, starting at verse 10, it's out of the Passion Translation. If you want to read an amazing love letter in the Bible, read Song of Songs and the way that we're meant to be in love with God and how much He's in love with us. The one I love calls to me, "Arise, my dearest, hurry, my darling, come away with me. I have come, as you have asked, to draw you to my heart and to lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth, and let it be bright and blossoming with flowers. The season for singing and the pruning of the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you, to guide you forth. Can you not discern this day, this new day of destiny, breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are breaking forth." And I believe that's where we are at right now, the early signs. We ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. The budding vines of new life are now blossoming or blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers there's a change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. And now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove hidden in the split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway in the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. It's what he says to us when we worship him. He wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear our expression. How beautiful your eyes of worship and lovely your voice in prayer. The little warning: you must catch the troubling foxes. Those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? And we will do this together. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be a body together to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. But we must be vigilant for the little foxes, that we are quick to deal with our own heart, our own offenses, our own things, so that we don't carry them into the relationships with each other. As I said a couple of weeks ago in marriage, if I have an offense up towards my wife, everything she does towards me will be seen through this lens of offense, and it will build a wall that will break my connection with her. But if I am quick to deal with my own heart and what's going on within me, and Shell is quick to deal with her stuff, and together we deal with those things, we can keep our connection close together. And we need to do that for each other. We need to be pursuing those things, heart connection, because we need to be a people, regardless of whether we agree on everything, that we do have each other's backs. Let's go right back to where we began. At the start of our service. Then I heard again what sounded like a shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for our Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and the bride has prepared herself. Why do we need to learn how to live together in those things? It's not just for our own benefit. It is so that we are ready to stand before the One like a bride walking down the aisle. When Matt said he saw the things coming off the roof, basically it was like shockwaves. You said shockwaves coming there. What I saw was that Jesus was standing right in the midst of us, going, come on, I want to be with my bride. I want to see my bride, but it's not complete yet. Prepare your hearts. Live freely and lightly in the unformed rhythms of grace. And do it together. And when you learn how to do that, the world will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. Love isn't always easy. Michelle sometimes has to correct me when I'm not loving her well. Do I like it? Usually not. But that's how we do that. Love looks like that. Father God, will you show us how to love each other despite our differences, despite the fact that there's things in our past that still trip us up from time to time. But I thank you that you put us in the body of Christ where the diversity of gifts are here to be able to help us on that journey. So that together the world will see Jesus in the way that we love each other. Holy Spirit, we want to see this wave of your glory across our lands. We want to experience it. We want to know it. And I, for one, will give my life to pursue you and seeing your kingdom manifest here on earth.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.